American Christian, episode 39. I want to read to you a letter by Pastor Mac Glover. He's a pastor at Discover Life Church in Panama City, Florida. He was writing in this book by Todd Smith called Igniting Revival Fire Every Day. And what these are, 70 invitations that wake our hearts from global revivalists, and he is listed as being one of them. But this chapter 41 in the book Igniting Revival Fire Every Day, it's called Essentials of Revival. The scripture that is highlighting this particular chapter is the thief cometh not, but to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they may have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Knowing my interior world isn't matching up with my exterior reality was very exhausting and disappointing. The constant struggle of doing my absolute best day in and day out to live a victorious Christian life was wearing me down to the ground. I was constantly questioning every existence of my faith and everything I said and believed in. Is Jesus' resurrection really my resurrection? Do I really have power and authority over sin in my life? Am I really more than a conqueror? Is a victorious life really for me? Is it possible to experience life and life more abundantly every day? And if so, why isn't this my reality? Why am I not experiencing the life Jesus came to freely give to me? It's interesting, isn't it? I think that most Christians would say that they've experienced this very thing, questioning, wondering about resurrection, personal resurrection. Like, have you really become alive when you were dead in Christ and now you're alive in Him? Do you really have a power over sin in your life? Are you really more than a conqueror? Do you experience this every day? And if you're not, the question is why? And it seems to me that this pastor, Glover, was kind of found himself in a crux. And I, too, would tell you that I found myself in a crux as well back probably, 15 years ago, when I was wondering, where are the miracles, signs, and wonders? If the Bible is telling us that we shall see the dead come alive, if we shall see demons being cast out, if we would lay our hands on the sick and they will recover, how come I'm not seeing this? What is happening? Something is awry. And so it was when those questions started to come that the Lord began to do His work in me. Now, if you've been listening to this podcast, you've probably put together a few things that Doc and I have been talking about. Incidentally, Doc is on assignment elsewhere today, but I will be with you. My name is Reverend Pete Cooper. I am with Heart of the Father Ministries, and I've been working with Doc for about 4 years now, and it has been glorious. I want you to know that I have seen demons being cast out right before my very eyes, and with my own hands, I have seen those who are sick healed instantly. And it is very real, Christian. I want you to know that. So Pastor Glover goes on and he says, I operated more like a failure most days than I did a conqueror. The feeling of living the life of an imposter haunted me every day of my life, and it seemed as though I could never escape it no matter how hard I tried. Yes, there were some days I functioned as an overcomer, but mostly I was filled with defeat and disappointment. Laying my head down at night, knowing deep inside something was wrong, something was missing in my Christian life, it drove me to cry out to God for answers. I finally come to an end of this continuous torture, of being a failure, of never measuring up to the life Jesus came to impart to me. And after crying out to God and asking, why am I not experiencing the abundant life? Why am I not living in a constant state of revival? I heard the word essential in my spirit. What does that mean? I said. So I immediately began to search the word and found out it means something that is vitally important, something absolutely necessary or indispensable. And the Lord began to show me what was essential for me or anyone else to experience the personal or corporate revival in their lives. Pastor Glover goes on to say, repentance, forgiveness, unity, prayer, and honor are the essential elements of revival. These are the five necessary ingredients to living in releasing the abundant life. All five of these elements are absolutely essential and are harmoniously connected and dependent upon one another. The Lord showed me the number five represented grace, and He gives grace to the humble in James 4:6. It is grace that empowers and enables us to live as more than conquerors within a world that desires to conquer us. Let me say that again. It is His grace that empowers and enables us to live as more than conquerors within a world that desires to conquer us. Remember, John 10:10, that there's a thief that's come but to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said that we are to have life abundantly. So, walking in the Christian life and being a part of it and being with other believers and, you know, coming in and out of Sundays or Wednesday nights or, you know, different Bible studies, things that you're partaking in outside of corporate worship and assembly, what do you think is the attitude of most of the people that are attending and coming into the church? Do you think that they've been robbed, or do you think that they're having life more abundantly? Do you think that that they feel as though they've been cheated, or do they feel as though they're living within a prosperity in their mind, a prosperity within their heart and within their spirit? Or the other idea behind this is that He's come to kill and to destroy. And this idea of these three words, to steal, to kill, and destroy, the steal part comes from the word klepto. It means to take something without realizing that it's been taken from you, a kleptomaniac, somebody who takes something. It is behind the shadows. It's veiled. It's taking. You don't realize that it's been stolen from you until you go to look for it. The idea of killing is this idea to take a piece of flesh little by little by little by little. It is a long process, the killing part. And this other word, destroy, means to bring forth the reality that you've never even existed, that you don't exist anymore. He has stolen everything from you. You didn't realize it until you went to look for it. He's been taking and killing you slowly over a period of time, and then boom, there you go. You're completely destroyed, gone. No remembrance of this. But Jesus said that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So back to Glover, and this is just a short letter that Pastor Glover has written. He says, it's no surprise why the enemy is always attacking us in these five essential areas, because within these essential elements, the expression of Christ is released into the world. Repentance gets released into the world. Forgiveness gets released into the world. Unity gets released into the world. Prayer and honor released into the world. It's released in and through the actions of the Christian, of those who have been regenerated, been born again, baptized in the Holy Ghost. Once this starts to happen, Christian, you will start to examine your life and you will begin to see that you really do have life more abundantly. So I would say don't be listening to what the enemy has to say about what he thinks, but I think you need, and I need to think about the fact that we have been more than conquerors and that we really do have life abundantly. One of the other things that I would like to say too in this particular podcast is that the enemy, he will do anything to hinder or flow, to stop the flow of the Holy Ghost. Now within our lives, he is always at work to stop this. And I know that I'm experiencing, I know that I'm getting around people that are having a desire to be baptized in the Holy Ghost. But there are also those that I know that are resisting this baptism. You know, being constantly bombarded, you know, with offenses from our brothers and sisters in Christ that will eventually create a space for bitterness to take root in our heart. Think about that. Think about the fact that you've taken an offense from one of your brothers or sisters in Christ, or they've been that they're offending you or you're offending them, and eventually this bitterness takes root in your heart. And when bitterness comes in, bitterness is a destroyer. Bitterness is a function of taste. Bitterness. Jesus said that he would give us living water. Imagine what living water would taste like upon your palate, but you can't taste it because you have this bitterness in you. So learning how to lay these kind of things down is really, really important. Humility, humbling ourselves consistently every day and in every situation will empower us to live a life of repentance that keeps forgiveness flowing, unity established, and prayer with the Father fresh, and to honor. And honor becomes a way of life, honoring your mother and father, honoring those that are around you, honoring, giving honor to people. It doesn't say give them honor if they deserve to have honor, but using it as a stepping stool to come in and to be able to elevate and to promote other people. And how many workers do you think have a bitterness towards their bosses or towards their leaders, those that are above them or below them, not showing honor? But when we move into this, it makes room for God to set up a stronghold within our interior world that can't be shaken in any circumstance or situation that we're going to encounter. I want to go into the Word just for a second here in James 4. We talked about James 4:6, but he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. So James 4:1 says, where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and you don't have. You murder and covet and can't obtain. You fight and war, yet you don't have because you don't ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. I mean, think about the pleasure of seeing vengeance come upon people, that you want them to be taken out, to be found out. You know, these are things that are reserved for the Lord, not for us. You ask and don't receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. And James says, you know, he calls us adulterers and adulteresses. Do you not know that friendship with the world is enmity towards God? Whoever therefore wants to be a friend of the world makes himself an enemy of God. Or do you think that the scriptures say in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously? There is the Spirit of God within us that really wants to make a move in your heart today. He wants you to be in the victory. And I would just say that, you know, what we want is we want revival to come in and to, it really is a benefit when we make pursuing God essential instead of making pursuit of God optional. Like, well, that's good for some people, but not for everyone. So pursuit isn't really something that occurs to us in a weekly moment. I mean, it seems as though we come in on Sunday and we spend most of our time repenting for the way that we acted through the week, and then we're right back to square one again, trying to work through our Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. When we make pursuing God an essential, He creates a fire for Him that will burn 24/7. So with that, I want to move into a letter that was written to Seymour. This letter gets posted in the Azusa Street newsletter. Her name is Sister Hutchins. The letter goes to say this: I was justified on the 4th of July, 1901, and at that time I felt the Lord wanted me in Africa, but I was not then at all willing to go. But on the 28th of July, 1903, so 2 years later, the Lord sanctified me. And before He sanctified me, He asked me if I would go to Africa. I promised Him I would. From that time on, I have felt the call to Africa, and I've been willing to go at any moment, but not knowing just when the Lord would have me to leave. On the 6th of last month, while out in my backyard one afternoon, I heard a voice speaking to me these words: On the 15th day of September, take your husband and baby and start out for Africa. On the 6th of last month, while out in my backyard one afternoon, I heard a voice speaking to me these words: On the 15th day of September, take your husband and baby and start out for Africa. I looked around about me to see if there was not someone speaking to me, but I didn't see anyone, and soon recognized that it was the voice of God. I looked up into the heavens and I said, Lord, I will obey. Since then, I've had many tests and temptations from the devil. He has at times told me that I would not even live to see the 15th of September, but I never once doubted God. I knew that He was able to bring everything to pass that He told me to do. After hearing the voice tell me to leave Los Angeles on the 15th, I went to one of my neighbors and testified to her that the Lord had told me to leave for Africa on the 15th of September. She looked at me with a smile. I asked her what she was smiling about, and she said, Because you have not got streetcar fare to go to Azusa Street Mission tonight, and talking about going to Africa. But I told her I was trusting in God I was trusting in a God that could bring all things to pass that He wanted us to do. He has really supplied all my needs in every way for the work where He has called me. I want to testify also about my husband. He was a backslider. And how the devil did test me, saying, You are going to go cast the devil out of others and going to take the devil with you. My husband was not saved, but I held on to God and said, Lord, I will obey. I continued to testify and to make preparations to leave on the 15th. The Lord reclaimed my husband and sanctified him wholly and put the glory and the shout in him. So now it is my time to laugh. The devil has oppressed and mocked me, but I praise the Lord, I can now mock him. Glory to God. It is now 4:10 in the afternoon on the 15th day of September. I'm ready. I'm all ready, and down to the mission with my ticket and everything prepared, waiting to have hands laid on and the prayers of the saints, and expect to leave at 8:00 from the Santa Fe station en route for Africa. We expect to go to Mount Coffee, Monrovia, in Liberia. Feeling the need of a real companion in the gospel that was out and out for God, I prayed to God that He might give me one to go with me. I had my eyes upon one that I wanted to go, but in prayer, in humility before God, I found out that it was not the one the Lord wanted to go. So I said, Well, anyone, Lord, that You would have to go with me would be pleasing to me. And to my surprise, He gave me my niece, a girl that I raised from a child. Now she's 19 years of age, she's saved, she's sanctified and baptized with the Holy Ghost, and is going with me out into the work of the Lord. So instead of giving me one companion, He gave me two, my niece and my husband. Our first stop will be Chattanooga, Tennessee, Harge Row. I want the prayers of the saints that I may stay humble. Miss J.W. Hutchins, Mount Coffee, Monrovia, Liberia, Africa. So following in the scripture in James 4, we go into verse 7. It says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Lament and mourn and weep, and let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. There's a promise in humility. And when we humble ourselves, the Lord lifts us up. And he brings us into this place where we can begin to have a conversation with the Lord. So you might be thinking, well, Coop, look, I have been following after the Lord. I'm starting to lean in right now, and I'm hearing the Lord, but I still have these attacks that are coming at me. And basically, they're attacks against my character. I want you to think like Miss Hutchins did back in the early 1900s. She trusted and obeyed what the Lord had for her. The Lord isn't going to keep you on the bench just to say that you're on the team. He wants to bring you in. He wants you to play. With the Lord, you're a first stringer. With the Lord, you know, you're the one that he is going to empower and give grace to. He's going to allow you to walk in the humility. He's going to have you thinking along the lines of unity. And he is going to put into your heart the need to pray and to move. One of the things that I'm looking at right now is I've started to fashion my mornings after Dr. Nichols. And Dr. Nichols starts his day soaking in the presence of the Lord every day. Now, I was thinking, man, I would really like to do that, but I'm just such a busy guy. Like, how am I going to be able to pull that off? I've got a move that I'm contending with. I've got things going on. I got family coming. I've got children, there's just housework, there's chores that need to get done. How do you look when it starts to become important, when the essential need to be with the Lord starts to become a paramount thought, you need to start to move upon it. So I've cordoned off a portion of my house. It kind of doubles as a studio for me, but it's also my prayer room. And so now in the mornings, and I'll tell you, it was surprising to me. So what I do is I go into my prayer room and I put on the International House of Prayer, IHOP out of Kansas City. There's an app for it on most of your smart TVs. You can download this app. You go up into there and you can pull up any session you want. You can go into the live worship and prayer that's going on right now, any time of day, 24/7. There's someone that's praying and worshiping and giving thanks to God. So when I woke up this morning and I brought coffee to my wife and I was getting ready to go, and my wife said to me, "Are you going down to soak?" You know, that's kind of what we call it, soaking before the Lord. It's setting aside everything and to move into God's presence so that he can be with us. And it was like right then and there, it was like, wow, like I forgot about it. But my wife reminded me, hey, are you going to go down and soak right now? Which means if you're going to go downstairs and do that, I'm going to give you the space that you need in order to do it. And this was something that you said that you were going to do, kind of a thing, right? So I was just reminded. Tammy was, you know, she was spot on, but I think that the Lord used her to remind me that, hey, you know what, you're trying to establish a new pattern. So I'm just saying that God is for you, Christian. His desire is to be with you. And I know that the enemy is telling you that God does not want to hear from you until you get your ducks in a row, mister. And that's not the way that the Lord moves. He has come to give you life, and he has come to give it to you that it will be abundant, more abundant. So when you look around, I want you to know that you have life more abundant, and to trust that you do. And don't give way to the enemy to come in and to start to wreck your essentials. Don't let him come in, tell you you don't have anything to repent about, or telling you that, you know, like you can forgive that guy later. You know, you got to make sure that, you know, that he gets punished before you're going to do anything about it, or what have you, right? Maybe you don't like the idea of unity. Maybe prayer is something that you just can't afford to do right now because it's a time commitment, or giving honor. These five essentials will bring personal and corporate revival. And I want you to think about this too. You know, it's this idea behind the personal revival. Yes, we need to get there, but it also needs to happen at a corporate level too. So as a brother or a sister in Christ, when you come into the congregation, when you come into that place and you're in pursuit of these five essentials, you start to see the atmosphere with something that may or may not be already present within your own congregation, your own church. It may not already be present within your Bible study. It may not be present as you go before the Lord, but when we start to move in it, we can start to sow seed into it. And when we start to sow seed into it, then we can start to see things grow. So remove the bitterness from your heart. Let the Lord ease your heart and so that you can walk in the victory that he has called you into. Lay down your bitterness and pick up the abundant life. Father, I thank you for this morning, and I thank you for each listener. Lord, that you will continue to have your way in their life, Lord. Lord, that the things that have been stolen, the pieces of flesh that are being torn from their body, Lord, would be healed in the name of Jesus. That the destruction that the enemy has plotted out for them would come to an end in the name of Jesus. We say no more. We come into an agreement with your word, Lord, saying that we will cry out to you. Lord, that we will walk in repentance, that we will walk in forgiveness, that we will experience these five essentials, Lord, throughout the rest of this week as we begin to move into a personal revival, so, Lord, that we may bring a corporate revival. Lord, that we are not going to be sideswiped by the enemy when revival comes and it doesn't look like what we think it's going to look like. The reason that we're reading these letters, Father, is so that we can get a firsthand account, Lord, with our own spiritual eyes to see, Lord, that you did a great and mighty move. Lord, that you are doing this move all over the world all the time. Lord, you are in pursuit of us. So, Father, thank you. Lord, I pray for you to be their rear and front guard. Lord, that you walk beside them. Lord, that they see and hear your voice, Lord, that they cry out to you, Lord, that they carve out the time needed, Lord, so that they are walking deliberately with you, with the Holy Spirit, and with Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. We pray this in your mighty name. Amen. Go in peace, Christian. There's a lot more coming.